just have a quick, well, it's not that quick, but it's quick enough. In the introit, we will sing the Gloria Patri. That's what you know, glory be to the Father. We'll don't try and sing it from the words on this. You know it. It's the one that we always sing in Divine Service 3. You know it. Y'all all know it. So, I guess that's it. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor and miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let us join in reading responsively the introit for this morning. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love.
For they have been from old.
You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord.
He is their help and their shield.
The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord.
Both the small and the great.
We will bless the Lord.
From this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for this morning is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. This is the word of the Lord. Let's join in reading responsibly the gradual. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, You are the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If anyone would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'm sorry. Let us join in confessing our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark is kind of quick with the events that happen in this section of his gospel concerning the confession of Peter. Matthew is much more lengthy. In a way, I think I'm a little bit surprised Mark is quick by it. In other ways, I guess I'm not. Mark always seems to be in a rush to get to something. And of course he is. He wants to get to the crucifixion and the resurrection. I guess we could say it that way. He wants to get to the end of the story, which is really no ending at all because the story goes on, right? I mean, there's a resurrection. Jesus sees his disciples, and over 500 more have seen Jesus before he ascends into heaven. And the story doesn't end there, right? Because he sends those disciples out with this good news. But this good news comes at a price. It doesn't come easily for the disciples. The disciples suffer for their faith and for that proclamation. Not all the time. There are times for rejoicing and being happy as they witness those who come to faith, as they hear the Word of God and see the power of God's Word creating faith in the masses. And sometimes in a household, or sometimes just one-on-one. But the story doesn't end. It just keeps going on and on and on. On. And it's good. It marches forward. It goes from one generation to the next generation, from one continent to another, from one nation to another nation. It just spreads like a fire. Because this is good news. This word has that kind of power. It wouldn't seem like a story about an itinerant preacher who comes on the scene in Galilee and begins proclaiming the kingdom of God to people would amount to much more than, you know, a passing interest perhaps. But of course, it's not a passing interest that takes place. Jesus becomes known. He becomes famous. Or infamous, depending on who you would talk to. I don't think the Pharisees liked him too much. It doesn't seem that way. Some did, but most seemed like they were just busy trying to find a way to put him to death. But nevertheless, the disciples were hopeful, weren't they? This is going great. This is, you know, who would have known, you know? Look at all the people. They come to him. They love him. And then there's that day. Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" Well, some think that you're perhaps John the Baptist come back. Of course, they know better than that because they've been with Jesus even when Jesus, when John was arrested. But not everyone knew that. For instance, King Herod didn't know that. He didn't know that. Perhaps he was thinking to himself, because of course he had him beheaded, maybe it's John come back to plague me more. Could have been a Shakespearean play, perhaps. Yeah. Others say a prophet. One of the prophets. And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." That seems like good news right there. Of course, Matthew goes into it more. But what do we have from Mark? "And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him." Really? He gives this wonderful good confession. And he says, don't tell anyone, though. But Matthew tells us more. Jesus commends this confession, right? He says, this didn't come by knowledge that most people get things, through flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven revealed this to you. And then he administers the office of the keys, basically. He tells them, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained in heaven as well as on earth. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." See, that's kind of where it really gets down to Jesus' words, don't tell anyone. Because, of course, looking back on the events and the things that took place, people misunderstood what the role of the Messiah was. They had a different vision of that whole thing. Their idea was Jesus, one day he'll go into Jerusalem and he'll claim his throne. And he'll live in the palace in Jerusalem where old King Herod used to sit. Not the newer one, but the old one. Herod the Great. He was great at many things except love and justice. He was a pretty devilish individual. But he's long gone. Their ideas of the Messiah looked more like heaven on earth. David's throne reestablished, a new golden age. Jerusalem, Israel will now be free. All of our enemies will be flung aside. We'll grow again. We'll flourish. We'll be the superpower of our day. Or some such thing. But that's not what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to be that kind of king. Others thought, hey, this is great. We have the one man in the whole world that can heal people of all their diseases. He can raise the dead, and he can feed us with morsels of food, and we'll have plenty to eat for the rest of our lives. This is wonderful. This is great. Of course, he's the Messiah. Our kingdom will be like the old days, flowing with milk and honey. We'll never lack anything. It'll be close to paradise. Maybe even paradise. But that's not the kind of king Jesus came to be either. He didn't come to be anyone's bread king. He didn't come to take away their suffering yet. He didn't come to take away all of that. He didn't come to take away the struggles that people have in this world of getting enough money to put food on the table to raise a family. He didn't come to take any of that away. But he came to give life. Real life. True life. Life that is eternal. Life that has no end. Just like the story of the gospel. It has no end. He came to give us eternal life. With him. With him. Who could ask for anything better? Yet that's not how they were viewing things. So when Jesus says, well, I've got to do all this suffering first, I've got to be betrayed. I've got to go to the cross. I've got to die. I think right then their ears shut down. No. Don't want to hear it. That's what Peter said. No. Never, Lord. We already know the way it's going to work out. Don't go destroying our image, our thoughts, our hopes. No, you're not going to die. Who could possibly want to put you to death? No. No. And then Jesus rebukes Peter. Get behind me, Satan, for you don't have the mind or the thoughts of God, but of this world. If you were to go and ask your friends, would you know the answer they would give? Who do people say that Jesus is? Have you ever asked them? Perhaps you don't know. A lot of people are friends for a long time and have no clue about their religious life or their faith or their beliefs. We don't tend to do that, perhaps, but maybe with a few friends, like those who are real close. But those who we see every day and we have casual conversations, do we inquire of such things? Or do we do the small talk thing? You know, did you see Blue Bloods last night? One of the shows that happens to be on. Did you see The Walking Dead? What did you think of it? That's what a lot of friends will sit around and talk about. But then, hey, I do that with my family. We're big buffs for movies and certain TV shows. We like those conversations because they're non-threatening conversations. No one's going to get in an argument about a TV show. They'll share ideas about it, but they don't really tend to get into an argument like politics or something else. What do you think of Jesus? The organization, the Apple of His Eye, which is a Jewish Christian organization that is affiliated with the LCMS, I remember listening to one of their missionaries who happened to be a Gentile, but he's a missionary for the within the organization, and he says they walk up to people on the streets in New York, Jews. They're targeting their fellow Jews. Of course they would. They've got good news to share with them. Forget the old covenant. Christ came. He's died. He's risen. He's gone to heaven. And He's here, too, for you and for me. No, they'll start out a conversation just like that. Who do you think Jesus is? He says, you'd be surprised. They're not really offended by the question. He says, a lot of times they just said, well, I don't really know anything about Him. I don't have an idea. They're not antagonistic to the thought of hearing the gospel. And most of them are probably shocked and surprised someone would even ask them. But ask they do. And they've had many who have turned to the Lord as their Savior, recognized Him because of the Word of God, that He indeed is the Messiah. Not the one of people's ideas and thoughts. In fact, at this time of the year, you know, especially as we get close to Good Friday, people kind of turn off their thoughts on that part. They might like to watch certain movies as we get close to Easter, you know, the Ten Commandments or The Greatest Story Ever Told. Maybe not so much The Greatest Story Ever Told anymore, but one of those movies. Still people like those, but what they like is it gets through that whole Good Friday quickly. People don't like to dwell on that, and if you don't believe me, just recall some of the responses people gave to Mel Brooks's The Passion. Why do you have to dwell on that, they say. He did so many wonderful things. Why can't you talk about the things he taught? Why can't you talk about that? Well, because the movie's only dealing with the last week of his life. The reason he came that he told Peter. But most missed the point, just like Peter missed the point. Most don't understand that he had to die in order that we would be redeemed and have eternal life with God. I forgot to switch my phone. I'm being notified. Sorry about that. Most don't realize the truth of the gospel or that last part, because that's what the people always seem to not bring up. The end of that, excuse me, the end of that tale, not the end of the story, but the passion with the Sunday Easter surprise, he's alive, right? They missed that part, just like it seems the disciples missed that part too, because Jesus was speaking plainly to them, right? He said to them, be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And yet Peter rebukes him. I don't know what I would have said to Jesus if he said that and I had that opinion. But a part of me would have been going, wait, what? 3 days rise again? Wouldn't you want to know more about that? Now that's power, right? That's power. Y'all think it's great because I can heal all these people and I can raise people from the dead and I can feed with a few fish and loaves of bread many, many, many people. But once I die, I'm coming back. In 3 days, rise again. 3 days, rise again. There we go again. The covenant made with God is being fulfilled in Jesus. So he calls the crowd around him and he tells them, because that now they need to get their notions and their ideas off of the Messiah they think he is to understand what he is doing, to understand the cost of discipleship, of really following him. Because you see, when he's king, you're not going to get to sit back on your nice recliners and stuff like you usually do. Not that they had recliners, but you know, life ain't going back the way it used to be. No, it's costly, as it is costing me, so it will cost you. You will suffer, yes, you've been suffering, but you'll suffer for my sake now. You'll suffer for the gospel's sake. And you're going to be asked to do things that you have not been asked to do before. To deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Now everybody in Jerusalem understood what taking up your cross meant. It meant going to the hillside and being crucified as an enemy of the state or for a crime that you have committed that is worthy of death. As far as Rome is concerned, the Jews had their ways of dealing with certain crimes, stoned to death. But if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself and follow me. But the good news is, I will always be with you. It's what he told his disciples. It's what we have heard down through the ages, that he is always with us. He is with us every moment of our breathing lives. Even when we don't think He's around, He's right there. And He'll help us through these things. Now, you can go back and read Paul's letter to the Romans on your own, and he talks about suffering and the joy of suffering. He talks about the benefits of suffering, if one could say it that way. It causes endurance and character, and who doesn't want that? But suffering causes growth. It does. It causes growth. You know the story of how if you help a butterfly try to break through that cocoon, it can't survive. It won't fly. It has to struggle. And once it struggles, it becomes this beautiful insect that with beautiful wings, and it's able to lift up into the air and glide and float and just fly on its own. A marvel to behold, that which was a small creature of the earth that just crept along becomes this beautiful, magnificent bug. It is. It's a beautiful bug. The butterfly. Suffering is that way for us too. Suffering comes with different kinds of suffering, I guess. No suffering is the same. If we suffer for the cross, we would be suffering in a different way than if we suffer the pangs of a loved one's death. Grief. But one needs to go through that in order to grow and be able to move forward in their lives. Otherwise, they become a sad person who perhaps is just in a dark room all the time, not wanting to go forward because they feel they can't. But if one goes through the suffering, or maybe someone just decides to not think about it. But, you know, that only goes for so long before grief still sinks into one's heart. Suffering isn't always a bad thing. It helps heal us. It helps lead us forward. It strengthens us. And I think that's what Paul is saying of rejoicing in suffering, because he sees something good that will come out of it. In this case, perhaps for the faith of the Roman Christians or the Philippian Christians or any other Christians, whoever he has proclaimed the gospel to, he is aware that this is costly what he is doing. But he would rather do that than anything else in all of the world, because there is no greater thing for St. Paul than the proclamation of this word, this gospel, this one that Jesus spoke of, the suffering, dying, and rising. So suffering is a cost that all disciples need to be aware that they will perhaps pay. But he says, don't lose hope, because in all of this you will be strengthened in that. You will be able to endure it. You will come out of this much better and stronger in faith. So do not be ashamed to speak to others about me. Do not be ashamed, Jesus would say. Do not be ashamed to say you are mine. For what does it profit you if you save your life by denying Jesus? What does it profit you? Nothing, he says. Nothing. But if you are not ashamed of him and you confess him and you speak of him, he will also be that way with you before his Father. He will not be ashamed of you. He will speak of you with his love to the Father. In this way, all of the glory of his Father with the holy angels are lifted up. And all of heaven glorifies the Father. For he is the one who has brought this new creation that we are going into now into being. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Pray. O Lord, in these Lenten days, set our minds on your things rather than the things of man, that we may deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow your Son through this life into the joys of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have given your church the joy of proclaiming the truth that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that we might be justified by his blood and saved from your wrath over our sins. Grant all pastors the gifts of your Spirit to preach and teach this truth with truth boldly and faithfully, and help us to confess it in word and deed in our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, keep us from being ashamed of the Son of Man when we face persecution for his name in this world, that he may not be ashamed of us when he comes in your glory with the angels. Be near to all those who are facing martyrdom for Christ, and sustain them until the end, that they may be crowned with life before you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
O Lord, since all kingship belongs to you and you rule over the nations, we pray that you would bless our leaders, all those who govern us, the President of the United States, the senators and representatives. We pray that you would bless also our governor, lieutenant governor, our state legislators, and all others who govern us in your stead, that we may be ruled wisely and in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
O Lord, through your Holy Spirit, pour your love into the hearts of all, especially. We lift up to you, Lord, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Peggy Spitzenberger, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Knopf, Wilfred Defoe, and all those who suffer in our midst, that their sufferings may produce endurance, endurance character, and character a hope that will not put them to shame. Grant them health and healing in accord with your perfect will, and sustain them in all their trials. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
O Lord, as we remember with thanksgiving the multitude of nations that rejoice in heaven before you with the Father, Abraham, we pray that you would sustain us in that same justifying faith, that as his offspring we may share in the everlasting covenant you made with him. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Take my life.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The following responses will be sung. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
There's a kitchen.
If you don't know, we lost water pressure in the fellowship hall, so I doubt if we'll be going down there for coffee and donuts, right? Right.
Not today.
Not today.
Okay. And are you going to do a Bible class?
I can.
All right. I guess we'll be here.
Yeah. Is it Sunday?
Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. We sent an email to everyone saying Monday, Thursday, Good Friday at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sounds like a good deal.
We'll be there.
All right.
Okay, any other announcements?
Peggy's here.
Yay!
Yay!
We're so excited.
We are.
It's wonderful to be here.
Everybody wants to come up and just hug you.
Come on, I tested negative.